Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us on Books on Demand, a show that introduces the excellence of Korean literature to the world, exploring notable literary works. Today, we'll talk about Hyun Jin-gun's House Mistress B and Love Letters. I'm your host, Lena Kwon, and I'll be back shortly.
House Mistress B, a teacher and a dormitory house mother of Seagirls School, is known for being a strict celibatarian and devout Christian. A spinster nearing 40 years of age, she has a full face of freckles and her appearance could not be farther from that of a demure virgin. Not only that, her shriveled, awkward, thin, pale frame reminded people of a moldy dried fish. Her wrinkled forehead laid bare beneath her hair, carelessly combed back. Because she didn't have enough hair to make a top knot or a ponytail like the rule dictated. She couldn't hide the fact that she was already growing old. She was so strict and unforgiving that dormitory residents shivered in dread whenever she glared from behind her reading glasses with her piercing eyes and her lips tightly sealed.
Hyun Jin-gun's House Mistress B and Love Letters, published in 1925, starts with the description of the house mistress's appearance. What House Mistress B abhorred the most were love letters. The girls' dormitory was flooded every day with love letters professing of undying love. The person who inspected all these letters in advance was none other than House Mistress B. Whenever she read one of these sweet letters, she would get so upset that her face flushed and her hands trembled. What scared the girls most was when the recipient was called to the housemistress's office after school. It was a terrifying experience for a girl who just happened to inspire deep love in a young man.
She would pace around the room seething, as if she couldn't take such abuse. When the student came in, she would glare at the girl and take long strides to stand right in front of her. Unaware of what was going on, the student would cringe at the sight of the housemistress's anger and, after a bit of hesitation, would finally ask in a very timid voice, "Did you want to see me?" "Yes, I did!" After barking out an answer, she would violently pull out a chair and resentfully sit on it. But when she noticed that the student was still standing there, she would again yell at her. "Are you a totem pole or what? Why can't you grab a seat?" The teacher and the student would sit across from each other over a small desk. "You know what you've done wrong, right?" She would glare at the girl without a word for several moments before throwing the letter in front of the girl's face and started questioning her. "Who's the recipient of this letter?"
"It's me."
The girl cannot deny it, since it was addressed to her. Then the housemistress would ask who sent it to her. Since the name of the sender isn't clearly marked, she would hesitantly answer that she wasn't sure.
"How can you not know who this is from?"
The housemistress would then let out a roaring rebuke before making the student read out the letter. When the girl would nervously read out the sweet words, the housemistress's fury would escalate as she demanded to know who the guy was. The girl would keep saying that the letter is from a man she didn't know, and it wasn't her fault. But her explanation would fall on deaf ears.
No matter how strongly the student protests that she has no idea who sent the letter, it is not enough to appease the housemistress. The older woman even would threaten to expel the girl if she didn't tell the truth.
She would grill the student, insisting that no man writes to a girl who doesn't even know his name, that the girl must have behaved improperly, or that they must have met somewhere. The house mother then would go on to ask how she came in contact with the man, and when the girl, no longer able to stay awake,
makes up a story that she might have seen him at a concert or a flea market hosted by the school. Then, the mistress would interrogate the girl on even the most trivial details, like how the man looked at her and what he talked about. After two or more hours of interrogation, the house mistress would lecture on how men were not to be trusted and how they turn into devils that feast on innocent women like themselves. She would repeatedly say that the freedom to enjoy a romantic relationship is a lie made up by the devil himself. Then, she would kneel down on the unwashed floor and say in a prayer with tears in her eyes and ending each sentence with, "God our Father." She would pray that God save the little lamb about to fall victim to the devil's temptation.
So why did the author make House Mistress B out to be such a heartless character? Here's Bang Min-ho, professor of Korean literature at Seoul National University, to explain the author's intent.
This story is written as a satire. The main character, House Mistress B, is described as a teacher and dormitory headmistress, a celibatarian and devout Christian. Her job, religion, and lifestyle choice define her as a character. In the early 1920s, fundamentalistic Christianity was commonplace in Korean society, and many people believed in remaining celibate and devoting their lives to God or for some ideal value like the welfare of mankind. Perhaps Hyun Jin-gun wanted to scorn the lack of humanity or love in this kind of ideology.
What House Mistress B hated as much as love letters was young men visiting the dormitory. Visits by male students were strictly forbidden, and her rigid rule was applied even to the girls' fathers or brothers or even male relatives. She would often give any sort of excuse to turn them away. The female students, claiming the ban was an abuse of their human rights, waged a joint strike and convinced a principal to join their cause, but nothing could change the mind of House Mistress B. The girls' dormitory in this story is depicted as a draconian place with very little personal freedom. Literary critic Chun So-young is here to explain what kind of setting the dorm provides for the story.
The dormitory in this story is a very symbolic place. School or dormitory was considered a modern institution in the 1920s. In previous eras, girls were educated in homes. Since the country's modernization began, however, schools began to take on the role of educating students. Knowledge was passed on to young minds at schools, but the school's more important role was to produce docile people who comply to the rules of the colonial government and modern society. This was why the students' lives and schedules were so strictly controlled at the dormitory, which ended up pushing the girls to a breaking point. At the time, schools and dormitories were likened to a prison, and this was more so for girls' dormitories. Rampant discrimination against women was the cause for tighter control of female students. The girls' dormitories were a very confined place back then. In this story, girls are not allowed to meet boys at all, and even a meaningless letter from the opposite sex was cause for severe physical punishment. House Mistress B's behavior may seem excessive, but some dormitory supervisors were actually like that. Girls' dormitory was a mysterious enclave to outsiders, but a prison-like place for its residents.
안에서 보면 깜방 같은 곳. 그곳이 바로 여학생 기숙사였습니다.
But something strange began to take place at a dormitory supervised by House Mistress B. At 1 or 2 o'clock at night, when all the students were asleep, a strange sound echoed through the building. Sudden bursts of laughter or whispers in male and female voices were heard. It lasted for days, and several students ended up hearing the mysterious sound. It sounded like the song of dried leaves rustling in the backyard or the sound of a crying goose flying in the moonlight. The girl who heard the sound thought it was goblins playing tricks on her and tried to wake up her friends to no avail. She realized that it was too absurd and went back to sleep after convincing herself that what she heard was her friends talking in their sleep. Then one day, When a student woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, she heard a strange sound. She grew so scared that she woke up her roommates. All three of them ended up hearing the same eerie sound.
보고 싶었습니다.
Listen to that sound. What would make that sound in the middle of the night? I was startled awake by that sound last night. Could it be ghosts? One mischievous girl listened carefully to the sound. It indeed sounds strange. I think I have also heard that sound before. Maybe some girls are chatting since they couldn't sleep. But that was when they heard a sound that made their hair stand on its end. The creepy laughter was followed by a distinct sound of someone talking.
Oh, Taehoon, I would like that very much indeed. It sounded like a woman being flirtatious. I am very happy to know that you are pleased. Oh, why do you only now come to know of my burning heart devoted only to you, Gyeongsuk? The voice clearly belonged to a man, overflowing with passion. A long silence followed. Please let me go now. That kiss was too long. What if someone saw us? That voice was indeed quite flirtatious. Don't you think the longer the kiss, the better? I wouldn't say my kiss is long, even if I kissed you until my life ended. But I will be satisfied with a short one. The end of the man's passionate declaration was buried under the woman's high-pitched giggle. It was undoubtedly the tender shenanigans of a couple in love. How can such a thing happen in this closely watched dormitory? The three girls looked at each other's faces in amazement and fear. But soon, curiosity began to sparkle in their eyes. They all began to envision romantic scenes in their head. Maybe a man who loitered around the school grounds to see his love in this dormitory couldn't contain his burning heart any longer and jumped over the wall when it became dark. Or perhaps a window shimmering with moonlight silently opened and a woman beckoned to the man by waving a white handkerchief. Just as they had seen in a movie, a long rope was let down so that the man would climb up. The two lovers were finally united to indulge in these secret romantic whispers.
The three girls all began to blush as they wallowed in their romantic imaginations. But then they heard a harsh voice. No, I don't like it. I don't like men like you. Oh, my angel, my queen, my heaven, my life, my love. Please forgive me. Please save me. It was followed by the man's pleading. Let's go see what's happening. As a mischievous girl's suggestion, the rest of the girls got up after hesitating just for a moment. They opened the door carefully and stepped out to the corridor. The girls tiptoed toward where the sound was coming from, but when they found the source of the sound, they froze in place in astonishment. They had no idea that the sound was coming from the housemistress's office just a few steps from their room. They were stunned to find the sound coming from the office of Headmistress B, who detested men so much that she spat at the mention of them. The girls couldn't believe it. When the three girls were in disbelief, they again heard a man imploring from inside the office. Oh, my angel, my heaven, my queen, my life, my love, are you trying to kill me with your teasing? Are you trying to tear up my heart with your lips that command my life? The oldest of the three girls couldn't hold back her curiosity and quietly opened the door and peeked into the room.
What a bizarre sight it was. The lamplight was still on, and the bed was littered with the envelopes of love letters addressed to the dormitory residents, and amid the scattered letters sat Headmistress B all by herself. She opened her arms as if she was about to embrace someone, and her nearsighted eyes were staring at one spot. Her dried fish face was contorted in desperate entreaty, and her pouted lips appeared to be waiting for a kiss. Then, she murmured the same plea in a man's voice. But even before the complaining could end, she would switch and mimic a sulking woman waving away the man with her hand and speak in a cold female voice. "No, I don't like it. I don't like men like you." Then, she took one of the love letters addressed to a dormitory resident and caressed it against her face. "Do you really mean it? Do you love me that much? Do you love me as much as you love your life? Do you love me?" Her voice sounded like she was actually sobbing. "What is going on with her?" asked one of the girls. "She must have gone crazy. Why else would she be up in the middle of the night and go on like that by herself?" another responded. "Oh, what a pity," said a third. The third girl wiped away the tears that had welled up in her eyes.
Hearing the house mistress reading the love letters, the girls in the dormitory mistakenly thought that a man had sneaked into the building. That means the house mistress acted out both the male and female parts perfectly. The two voices represent the inconsistency between the house mistress' desire and behavior. By day, headmistress B lives a life of a strict asceticism and forces the same lifestyle on her students. But at night, she revealed her true desires in the secrecy of her room. Her double life showed that the most oppressive figure in the dormitory turned out to be the most lascivious person. That is a part where her voice sounds almost like a cry. I think that part delivers a tragedy of the girls' dormitory more vividly to the readers.
That was literary critic Chun So-young explaining what the author was trying to say in that last scene. Today we read one of Hyun Sin-gun's most widely read stories, House Mistress B and Love Letters. And that's all we have for this week's edition of Books on Demand. We'll be back next week with another notable Korean literary work for you to enjoy and ponder over. I've been your host, Lena Kwon, and thanks for listening.